chapter of the book, the Gospel of John. Why don't we do a responsive reading? I'll read the first verse, you read the second verse, try to stay together, and we'll go through verse 17, okay? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews.
The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him.
Y'all try to stay together, all right? Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit.
Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again.
The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be?
Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, knowest thou these things?
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness.
If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?
And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God be lifted up.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, and have everlasting life.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Let's pray.
Lord, we come to you today and we ask you to bless the reading of your word. Bless it to our hearts, to our minds. May we rejoice in it. May we understand our situation in your presence. God, we ask that we would be touched by the word. Let it move upon our heart and our mind. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would be prepared for a revival meeting and that you'd touch our hearts and our lives. Lord, help us to reach people for Christ. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most famous passages anywhere in the Bible. I imagine John 3:16 has been printed more than anything. Any other verse, maybe even Psalm 23 or Psalm 1. There's just a lot of verses that have caught people's minds. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Wow. What a message. What a blessing. Now, it says right here at the first, there was a man of the Pharisees. Now we know what sort of doctrine he holds. He's fairly a fundamentalist in his day. Named Nicodemus, and he's a ruler of the Jews. He's not just a Pharisee, he's one of the rulers. He's one of the leaders, one of the teachers. And it says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, a lot of people have made much of Nicodemus coming at night, and it may be so. I think Jesus is so busy that you'd have a hard time getting to him in the day. And this guy is a richer man. This man is a leader. He's not going to be crawling and groveling and trying to fight through the thing so he could touch the hem of Jesus' garment. He wants to talk to him. He's looking out from what Jesus is preaching. He's paying attention to it. Now, some of them hated Jesus for his preaching, and they did not like what he was saying, but that doesn't seem to be the way Nicodemus is. He says, no man can do the miracles you do except for God. And so he's got some interest into it. He wants to go deeper. I don't think he was afraid. I don't think that he was trying to be secret when he went to him. It could have been. But in my mind, I think this was the most convenient time to reach Jesus. Get him with his disciples and maybe in a house at night or whatever. And he said, we know thou art a teacher come from God. Do you know that? You know what you need to know? You need to know that he's a teacher come from God. You need to know that's the one you ought to go to. There's a lot of religion in the world. Man, the world's full of it. Just any neighborhood, you want to knock on any neighborhood, and some of the people believe some crazy things. And in fact, I draw nuts like a magnet. And so they come into the church and they want to talk to me. You know, I don't know what the reason is. Maybe I'm a nut. I'm not sure.
We send them to Matt.
We
send them to you.
Yeah, that's like I used to send them to Brent. I'd say, there's a pastor in the church, Brother Brent Riggs. He'll take care of you. Oh, boy. Thanks a lot. Well, he came by night. He's a ruler of the Jews, though. This guy is a ruler. He's one of the leading men of the Pharisees. And he came to Jesus by night. Now, Jesus in verse 3 said, verily, verily, and that means truly, truly, or surely, surely, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All right? He's got a teacher. He's got a guy that spreads the truth. He's got a guy that stands up and makes decisions on what's going to be happening in the nation of Israel. And he makes a statement here, and he said, a man must be born again. You can't see the kingdom of God. Well, now, that's just, Jesus does away with just standing up people, hitting them in the face, you know, just with a thought that they have to come around. Born again? You're going to go back in your mother's womb? Now, you were 8, 9, maybe anywhere from 4 pounds to 12, 15. Woo! Would you hate to bear a 15-pound baby, ladies? I had one of the coaches I had when I went to school. He was 6'9", weighed 300 pounds. He weighed 5 pounds at birth. You would have thought he would have been, you know, a great big baby, but he was a 5-pound baby. He just got big. All right, he said, you must be born again or you can't see the kingdom of God. Well, this is a controversy. This is a question. This is a problem that's coming up before him. Born again? What are you talking about? You're not talking about certainly going back and being born again from the same mother. You never get there. It'd be an impossibility, wouldn't it? Okay. So in verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now he said born again. Now he's going to say, of the born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There are a lot of churches, I'm sorry to say, that believe in baptismal regeneration. You got to be baptized to be saved. And the salvation is in the baptism. Why do you think they take a little baby down to a church and dabble a little bit of water on top of its head on a handkerchief or something like that? They're trying to remove original sin. They're trying to make that baby a Christian. I had a friend that became a professional referee. And he and about 4 other referees had their own plane, and they flew to all these college games, and they refereed the college games. And they crashed, and he died, and I went to his funeral. It was in a big Catholic church, and he had a large funeral. That priest said 5 times in that one sermon, saved by his baptism. Saved by his baptism. No, 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 no. Do you know what? You ladies know about this, and any of you fathers that have been out in the waiting room and they tell you the water's broke. You ever heard that? I heard it five times. The water's broke. God made that womb, a fleshly sac in that womb, and it's got water in it. And that little baby is cushioned when mama goes jogging down the road and when she drops something or she gets hurt or she slips and falls, and it's cushioned, and so it doesn't hit a bone. It doesn't get damaged. And what happens before the birth can happen, the physical fleshly birth can happen, that little balloon of flesh inside the womb has to break and let all that water out. And then the baby comes out. When he's talking about born of water and of spirit, he's talking about two different.
Yes.
Two different. Here we have the next verse answers this. Flesh is flesh. Spirit is spirit. Spirit isn't flesh. Flesh isn't spirit. You were given a physical birth, and it's the water birth. Not talking about baptism at all in this place. Not at all. And yet, I know, like I said, a lot of people, a lot of churches, they're preaching it this morning right now, all over this town right here, all over the world. But it has nothing to do with it. You know what I think what he's saying here? He said you must be, let's see, what did he say? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I don't believe Jesus died for little puppy dogs. I don't believe he died for whales. I believe he died for human beings. I think he died for people just like you that had a water birth. Human beings, flesh. And praise God that he did die in my place. Aren't you happy about that? You saved? Well, if you're saved at all, Jesus paid your debt. He died in your place. He came in the flesh. He lived in the flesh. He gave up his life in the flesh. For people that were in the flesh. I'm not preaching to animals. I'm not preaching to even angels. Hey, I don't know if there's any salvation, any place of repentance for angels. Have you ever read about it? I've read the Bible a lot of times. I never heard the opportunity for an angel to repent. Think what a privilege you've got. Jesus died for you and your kind. But now then, your flesh can't get into heaven. It's a mess anyway, isn't it? Aren't you a little disgusted with your flesh after you've been around here for a while? You have to, so many things. Some of us old folks were discussing old folks things. They're not pleasant. Some of you young people don't even like to be around us when we're discussing things like that. What are the old things you're doing? Well, what's on our mind? Where it hurts. What I can't do anymore. Oh, how much is it going to cost? Will I be able to survive the whole thing? That's not going to heaven. When Jesus had that new body, oh, your body's going to be resurrected, and it's going to be just like the womb was for your fleshly body. It's just going to disappear into this spiritual body, but it's going to be you. I don't care if you were eaten by 45 sharks. God can bring it all back together. Do they still put little bells on caskets so if you wake up and think about you're alive, you can ring? And no, I don't think they do that. I haven't seen one lately, at any rate. Here's the answer to it. Look at verse 6. Now, verse 6 is your Bible answer right there in the middle of the book. That which is born of flesh is spirit. No, it didn't say that. That which is born of flesh is what? Flesh. It's not going to be anything else. You got a fleshly body. Now, I'm personally thankful. I've had an enjoyable life. I've enjoyed playing. I've enjoyed being married. I've enjoyed raising a family. I've enjoyed work of all sorts of kinds. I've enjoyed my flesh, no doubt about it. But it's also given me a lot of pain. It's given me a lot of problems that I have to deal with. The flesh is not the finished product. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, what's born of the Spirit? It has a spiritual birth. So what he's saying is you need to be born again. You were born in the flesh. You were born with a water birth. Now then, you need to be born by the Spirit to be in the spiritual life. Isn't that clear? Isn't it not? Is it clear? Amen.
Amen.
You know what? You don't get into the Spirit the same way you got into the flesh. Your flesh. You have an opportunity now to become Spirit. And what do? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says it right here. It's such a tremendous passage of truth that comes out of us. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So that water baptism doesn't save you. You were in water when you were born of the flesh. And what that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You need a spiritual birth. Now who can give you that? God. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and moves upon you. Now, I don't know your experiences, and probably all of us have got some different experiences, but I remember sitting back in an auditorium that seated 500 people, sitting way back over there. I'd been to church all my life. I will always say when I'm talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and under the bed we go. That was my grandma Kincaid. She was always telling me Bible stories. Shadrach, Meshach, and under the bed we go. I learned it that way. It still tickles me to this day. And you take the training that we get and the blessing and growth that comes up. I thought of myself as a Christian. From this high, I've got all the Bible stories. As my dear old grandmother Kincaid, we lived in the same house with her until I was four. And she would spank the daylights out of me with a trumpet vine. It's got a bunch of little stickers with it, you know. And you don't run around with long pants when you were little back in my day. And boy, she would come around there. I would be running away from her and run around the house. And the trumpet vine was right up there by the porch. Well, she'd break off her little switch and she'd just stand at the corner where I couldn't see her. And as I came running around, she'd grab me. Then she spanked me for running from her. Do you know what? That never made me think she hated me. She loved me. She loved me. And she would tell me all these Bible stories. I'm sitting back here. I'm 20 years old. I'm in the Air Force. I'm out in Roswell, New Mexico. I've been baptized twice. As a little Methodist boy, I was sprinkled on my head at 11 years old. And then when I married my wife, I knew she was a much better Christian than I was, so I just joined her church, and it was a Baptist church. Well, they said, you got to get baptized. Well, I've been baptized. No, you haven't. You got to get baptized. Well, baptized means immersion anyway. And so I said, okay. And I didn't have a problem with it. I joined the church, and we went on a regular basis on Sunday morning. Had a hard time getting me to any other meetings, you know. And I enjoyed good preaching. So I was baptized twice. And this old pastor out there in New Mexico, he was 65 years old, real good preacher. Solid man. He said, you got to be baptized after salvation, not before. Did you just get saved? Yes. You really saved now? Yes. You need to be baptized. So I got baptized again. Didn't hurt me at all. Maybe a little bit in your pride, maybe. Born of the Spirit. I'm sitting back in that auditorium. Didn't want to go that night. It was a night meeting. Didn't want to go. And I was talked into it. And I said, Verlene was just about ready to have Billy. And I said, no, Verlene don't want to go. She said, I want to go. Okay, so I go. Sitting right back there. You all both in my chair. And when that preacher preached, I thought he'd been talking to my wife. He knew some things about me that I didn't know anybody knew. The Spirit of God took a hold of me and convicted me of my sin. And that night I went home and I couldn't rest. Something was stirring up inside of me. It wasn't physical. It was mental. And my wife said, if you're going to sing all night, Lindell, I'm singing old hymns in the bed. She said, if you're going to sing, go in the front. Let me go to sleep. That woman wanted to go to sleep at 9 every night, but she got up at 4:30 every morning. I went into the front bedroom, and then I looked at Eddie. He was like 8 days being a year old. And I looked at him, and I thought about a daddy who didn't cuss, who didn't drink, didn't run around on my mother. A daddy that loved me. An honest, moderate man. Christian man. And I cussed a whole lot, smoked and drank. I thought, what if Eddie turns out in proportion to me as I turned out in proportion to my dad? That's going to be the devil himself. And I realized, you're not all right. The Spirit of God said, you're not all right. You need something. So I prayed. I started confessing everything I could think of confessing. And I got Christ that night.
Amen.
And I surrendered to preach.
Amen.
And I went over and woke that preacher up at 7:00 in the morning. He wanted to sleep late. He was tired. But I woke him up and told him I got saved and surrendered to preach. I said, what do I do? Tell me. He said, first of all, tithe. I didn't know what a tithe was. He said, it's 10% of your income. What? Yeah. Start giving a tithe and get baptized. And that's what I did. Now, that came because the Spirit of God worked on the inside of me. It didn't change anything in my flesh, but I changed some things in my flesh. I quit smoking, quit drinking, quit cussing. The words are still in my head, bless your heart. They just don't hardly come out of my mouth ever. I got a spiritual birth. A spiritual birth. And it very definitely had nothing to do with my physical frame or my body. Now, it changed what my body did, but the flesh is flesh and always will be flesh. And the Spirit is Spirit and will always be Spirit. Praise God. You need to be born again of the Spirit of God. Now that just, to me, these two verses here bring it so clearly that how in the world could you think water baptism in a tank out there, even immersion, would wipe away your sins? It just doesn't do it. It just doesn't do it. You got to have the Spirit of God moving. That's a miracle every time it happens.
Amen.
That's God coming into the question. We're thinking about a revival. You know what I want? I want God to come into the question. I want God to be the answer. Be real careful about you got a little bad spirit about somebody or you get a little, your feelings hurt a little bit. That's the devil.
Amen.
That's the devil. He's trying to break up. You're going to try to get a revival? Well, I'll fight it. I'll tell you that.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. And the devil comes along, well, he insulted me. Or she just passed by and didn't say anything to me. Hey, the devil fights on the spiritual plane. The devil talks with your voice in your head. Just like God talks with your heart voice in your head. Better pay attention to what that little voice tells you back in there. Well, flesh is flesh, spirit is spirit. That ought to answer the question. There's no such thing as baptismal regeneration. A little bit of water on top of the head or to be completely immersed in water does not save the soul, does not change the mind or the heart or the life. There's a whole lot of baptized people in prison right now. Their life didn't get changed. Okay, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, are you a master? You a teacher? Are you one of the big teachers of Israel? Yes. We're not talking about some little average Joe here. We're talking about a leader of the Pharisees, a teacher of the Pharisees, the teacher of Israel. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Well then, if that's the case, if I can't tell you things about earth that I know, that I've seen, how are you going to believe me if I tell you things about heaven that I know and that I've seen? Wow. What we have is a fantastic book with a tremendous message. What do we know? Wow. We know the Bible is the Word of God. We know these are eyewitness testimonies. Do you believe them? Do you trust them? Well, these guys said they saw it. Now, some of you worry a little bit about death and what's going to happen when you die and whatever. I don't have that at all. I believe what Paul said over in Philippians chapter 1, it's far better over there. I think Verlene is in a far better place today. Why is she still alive? Man, she's alive. She's more alive than she ever was. And she's lovely, and she's not crying. She doesn't have any tears, and she's got no more pain. The last 3 years of her life was terrible pain. 3 years. She had 74 good years, three pretty bad ones. She doesn't have any bad days anymore. She doesn't need to take any pills. She got a spiritual life, no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more shame. That sounds like a place I want to go. Well, if I'm going to go, you need to be born again. That's what he's telling you. He said, we speak about what we know. I came down from heaven. I've seen it all. He made it all. And you don't listen to me about earthly things? How are you going to believe if Isaac told you what was in heavenly things? You want to read about some things that John saw in heaven? Take a look at the book of Revelation. That'll blow your mind. Oh boy, people have been worrying over that book over the years so many times. Wow. That's what's happening in heaven. Had a dear lady, her husband had passed away for several years, and she says, called me up on the phone. Brother Lindell, yes, you know everything. Yeah, and I said, I don't know everything. She said, well, you're the old man, the big dog. I said, well, maybe so. She said, what is my husband doing? I don't know. Well, you're supposed to know. No, all I'm supposed to know is what this Bible tells me, and the Bible don't tell me what your husband's doing. I have no idea. I think it's a great thing that I think he's on cloud number 9, maybe with a harp. I don't know, and you don't either. But we know about what Jesus said it's going to be like. Wow. If I have told you, verse 12, earthly things, that's what he's talking about. Where do you get born again of the Spirit of God? On the earth? Who is a candidate for it? Somebody that had a fleshly birth? Born of water? Now the action is the Spirit. Born of the Spirit of God. That's earthly stuff. That's God coming down and getting into your earthly life. Messing with your earthly mess. Isn't your life a mess sometimes? Oh, man. I would never want to be president of the United States. Everything I do would be criticized by 200, 300 million people. No matter what. I have a hard enough time with 100 people in a church. Because I can't please everybody all the time. And some of the decisions that I'm going to make, you don't know why I made them. And you can criticize all you want to. It's not going to change anything. Except it makes you a murmur and a complainer before God. Be careful. That's what he didn't like about the children of Israel and the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt. All those people weren't just Jewish and Jewish families. There was a bunch of people came out with them. They saw what was happening and they were slaves too. He had a mess. Moses had a mess. Really a big job. I think about, I've just been a pastor of a small church all of my life. But it don't take but 40 people for a bad attitude to get going around. It doesn't take but 40 people that aren't repenting and thinking they're smart and thinking they know what they're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about most of the time. Really don't. Let's repent of our sins and get God come down spiritually and deal with us spiritually. Let the Holy Spirit of God have his way.
Amen.
That's earthly things. Now then, verse 14. He, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, here's another question. They call fiery serpents. Do you know anywhere in the Bible why they called them fiery serpents? I don't. I've thought about that a whole lot over 62 years. Might have been they were red. You know, you got a car, it might be a piece of junk. But you got flames painted on your fenders coming out. What's the guy trying to say when he puts on the fender? This is a hot rod. This thing will speed. It'll spin the tires. You know, this is fast, man. This is classy. This is something to have. Might have been that. It might have been when they were bitten by the serpents that it was painful. And you felt like you were burning. All sorts of different poisons in these different snakes. But at any rate, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, what is that story? You know what it is? They had disobeyed God, and God let these fiery serpents loose on them. And they're deadly. Now, I don't like snakes. You may be a guy and you've got 14 snakes in your bedroom. But I don't. I knew some people that have had them, you know. Even when I was in high school, I had a guy, he'd bring two or three of his snakes and the great big long thing like that, wrap them around his neck right there in class. They were his. But at any rate, these snakes began to bite the people and they were dying. And they ran to Moses and said, do something. God told him, make a brazen serpent, an image of this snake that's biting. Put it on a pole in the center of the camp out here. And anybody that's bitten, all they've got to do is go look at that snake and they'll be free of its poison. They won't die. Just look and live. Just look and live. Isn't that simple? That is absolutely beautiful. Look and live. I imagine that pole had a cross of wood on it so they could hang the snake. Might have been a brazen serpent hanging on a cross in the midst of Israel. But when you got bitten by a serpent that was going to kill you, what did you do? You ran to that thing and looked upon this serpent. That thing became an idol later on. They had to destroy it. Because we're so stupid, we're so idolatrous. But that's Jesus. He's on a cross. In between two thieves. He's dying as a thief. He's dying as a malcontent. He's dying as an enemy, an outlaw of the country. That's how they put him to death. But the Jews are out there telling him, yeah, hey, I heard you preach. You said you could save others. Save yourself. Then we'll believe. No, you won't. No, you won't. What do you have? You ever heard the song, Look and Live? It's a biblical song. A lot of songs aren't biblical at all. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at what some people like. Really am. I guess I'm not just, it's not really musical. But I love certain ones. They got some words in them. Get something by Charles Wesley. Yeah, put that to good music. Wow, that blesses my heart. Look and live. What's he telling him? He's telling Nicodemus here, as Moses raised up that serpent in the congregation, and they looked to that serpent if they were bitten, and it would save their life. Jesus Christ has come, and he's going to be on a pole, and if you look to him, he'll save your soul. Wow. Isn't that plain? Man, I got 5 minutes and I ain't going to finish. Okay, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now look at verse 15. It fits with verse 14. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. You know what that word eternal life means? It means a life like God's life. He has eternal life. And he's going to take a fleshly thing like you and give it eternal life.
Thank you, Lord.
A life like God's.
Amen.
You want to be as a God? Well, you might not have thought about it like that anyway, but I tell you what, that's what God has given you. Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many. And when you get born again and get into the family of God, you're into a spiritual family, not necessarily a physical family. We got blacks and whites and yellows and browns and I don't know how many colors and how many shades. And you know what? Every one of us that looks to Jesus is in the same family.
Amen.
And in fact, as I read the Bible, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. Now, I was a son of Adam, and I still am a son of Adam. He come on down, and he gave me some pretty good parents. Wow. What a blessing to have good parents. Are you a good parent for your kids? Are you there for them? Can they talk to you? Do you talk to them about things? You ought to. You really ought to. You really ought to care for your kids. You only get about 18 years where you have any control over them. I guarantee you when they get out of the house, they don't want your advice. Take it from an old man. I'm still giving advice. Nobody wants it. But see, I can't keep from giving it. That's the problem being a father, a grandfather, and a great-grandfather. And you have the problem if you happen to live in this conglomerate of putting up with a little bit of advice from an old man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now look at verse 16, this tremendous verse that has probably been quoted and printed more than any other in the New Testament. For God so loved the world. How much did he love the world? God so loved the world. Well, he gave up his only begotten son. And notice that whosoever believeth. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Tremendous, tremendous promises of spiritual life, eternal life, a life like God has, the God-like kind of life. Wow. And he bestowed that gift on you. He said, all of you. Whosoever. Do you know what that whosoever means? That if Lyndall Kincaid will believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died upon the cross and he rose again for my justification, my eternal life, that he give it to even me. At a time or two, I thought, I don't know how I have the gall to go to God. You ever feel a little bit that way?
Amen.
You think, well, how do I rate? How do I get into this? Why would God pay any attention to me? Why would God pay attention to you? But he does.
Amen.
That verse. Wow. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. God so loved you. God so loved me. Wow. I wasn't very lovely. God so loved the world. Wait a minute. That's Mexicans. That's Iranians. That's Chinese. That's American Indians. That's a lot of half-breeds. I'm a Heinz 57 varieties. How do you know? I know my grandparents. I go back that far. Beyond that, I don't know much about them. They tell me, you know, you're from this part of the country and whatever. They run one of those things on me. They didn't dig up all the outlaws I came from. God so loved you. God so loved you.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ died in your place.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Wow. What do you got to say for that?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Believe it. As the serpent was lifted up on that pole, and those that were bitten by the serpent's poison, and they were going to die, and the message was, look and live. And anybody that came and looked, they lived.
Amen.
And the people that didn't believe it, they died. A lot of people died. A lot of people died because they wouldn't go and look. They didn't believe. Well, let me tell you what. God so loved you that he gave Jesus Christ to die in your place.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you how you're going to get to heaven. Not by quitting drinking, smoking, gambling, cheating, lying, adultery. You can do all that and go to hell. How are you going to get to heaven? Take Jesus as your only Savior and your only hope of salvation.
Amen.
I'm not walking up to God and say, God, let me in because I've been preaching for 62 years. Well, a lot of devils are preaching for 62 years, in case you didn't know. There are going to be a lot of preachers in hell, believe it or not. I don't care whether you believe it. There's going to be a lot of preachers in hell because they're not saved. Brent was out witnessing, and I taught him how to witness and go, and he was out knocking on doors, and he knocked on the door of this one man, and he asked him if he was a Christian. He said, I'm a deacon or I'm a pastor or whatever. Yeah, but are you saved? Well, the guy called me on the phone. I want you to rebuke that young man because I told him I was a preacher. I told him I was a deacon, whatever one it was. And he told me I still need to be saved. I said, well, you do. You still need to be saved. I thank you for your call. He's given me that he's doing the right job. I'll recommend him when I get him back to the house, you know. I'll brag on him a little bit. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever. Can you write your name in there?
Amen.
Whosoever. That means me. I can write in my scrawly handwriting, Lyndall Kincaid. I believe.
Yes.
He said, you won't perish, Lyndall.
Amen.
I'm going to give you everlasting life, Lyndall.
Amen.
I'm going to credit you with the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm going to impute that to your account. When you come up before that great judgment, it'll say perfect. It'll say righteous. It'll say, child of God.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Well, I didn't finish. But I'll have a turn again.